Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily.
Well, how's everybody this morning? Good, good, very good. Well, we are so glad you are here. My name is Daniel Kasnave, and I say this just about every week. It's an honor and privilege to be the pastor here at the Bridge Church, and it's incredible to see what God is doing here in the Lowcountry, how He's bringing people together. And I don't exaggerate, because you know sometimes you know they get that my fish was this big, but just really cool over the past probably month of the spiritual conversations that I've been able to have with our community, people in our community, people inside of our church, and I believe God's just stirring something in this season. And so we are honored that you are here. If you're joining us for the first time, we are in the middle of a series because we're studying through the book of Proverbs. Today we're in Proverbs chapter 3. We did the first half last week, and then we're going to finish it out today. So Proverbs chapter 3, verses 21 through 35, if you have your Bibles or phones or whatever that may be. If you don't, that's okay. We're going to put the lyrics for you on the screens as well. And I love that video because it gave kind of all these different situations for dads, right? And I don't know if you relate, but the homework thing, I mean, right? They start adding things in math, and you're like, what is this? I don't remember this. And even like social studies and history, I'm like, man, I got to brush this off. And now they have Siri, so you kind of like sneak to the side. Hey, Siri, what is, right? And they just find an answer real quick. Through that. But today, the message is, see, Siri, right there. Look, see, it heard me. The title of the message today is Wisdom in the Wild. Wisdom in the Wild. And you'll see here in just a few minutes. But I want to pray for us, just ask God to speak to us, and just continue on. I'm glad the rain's holding out. Dads, we've got a little competition right after this. A little, we have some Coke floats or pop, depending on where you're from. Pop floats, Coke floats. Got some Pepsis and root beer and things like that. But that's right after service. We're excited to spend some time together. But let's pray before we dive in. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your truth. Thank you for each and every person that's here in this room, but also listening online, God. We are just honored that they would continue to take this time and to walk in community, God. I pray that you would just speak. I pray that I will decrease so that you may increase. I pray that your word would just be illuminated in our lives, and I pray that you speak to each individual and where they are and what season they're in their life. We love you and ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Well, I entitled this message, Wisdom in the Wild, because when you think about the wild, you think about things just not going exactly as planned, right? If you think about a controlled setting, you can control everything, right? You have things in certain places, but the wild, if you think about it, it's so unpredictable. Not only do you have to think about yourself, but you got to think about things in the exterior, right? Things that may attack you or survival, all these things, if you think about the wild, if you think about a wild animal, right? You have to worry about not only yourself, but everything that is going on. And life is not a controlled setting, right? It's not a setting where you and I can go, you know what? Today is going to go like this. Today is going to go exactly how I planned it, exactly how I intended it. No, it's kind of more like the wild, where we're walking around and it's like, I don't know what's going to happen. So how do I navigate this? And I think even bigger, one of the things we're trying to hone in on through this series is making decisions. And how do we choose the wise path versus what Proverbs calls the foolish path or the path towards destruction? And every day we're kind of faced with these decisions. And not only that, like the wild, we have an adversary, an enemy who's trying to knock us off track and go, no, choose this path. Choose the foolish path. Choose here, right? Trying to pull us into that direction. But God says, I want you to choose wisdom. I want you to walk in wisdom. So we get to see that today. And one of the things also as I think about the wild, and today is Father's Day, when my kids were toddlers, I guess some of them are technically still toddlers, but my boys especially, they have a game that they like to play. And unannounced to me, they can start this game at any moment, at any time. And it is game on. Like, you don't know it's about to happen. You just got to be ready. Like in the wild, a head on a swivel. swivel ready. And what they do is they see you, and they have this where they pick anything with a ledge. It could be a chair, it could be the stage, it could be the couch, it could be anything, right? And as soon as I come around the corner, as soon as I come in sight, that is game on. They kind of look at me like, oh yeah, it's about to happen, and they just jump off whatever ledge they're on, and they're like, you better catch me, Dad, right? Like, they want to see. And as they get older, they get a little more daring, right? So they're finding different things. We could be kind of walking down a nice little sidewalk, and they see that ledge, and they're like, yes, and they just kind of jump off and want me to catch them. And so it's like game on. So it's like, oh no, get ready for it. And it's pretty funny sometimes, you know, they sneak attack. I'm like, son, you gotta watch out for here. I just realized somebody told me yesterday from the north, you don't call your kid son a lot. So yeah, I call my kid son anyway. But son, you got to catch it, right? Like, come on, right here. And so that game starts. It's like in the wild. And they give me this look out of the corner of their eye. And they're like, okay, Dad, it's on. Like, it's about to happen. Get ready. And I think about our lives. And I think about God's word. And I think about wisdom. I think about trying to make decisions. And I believe sometimes life for us can even be like that. Maybe we're faced with a decision of, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know exactly the end result. But there's a moment where I have to stop and I have to look and go, okay, God, is this what you want me to do? And I have to trust you that you're willing to help me to walk through this, that you're going to give me wisdom for each and every step. And in fact, it may be a new season. It may be a new dad. It could be just completely things are changing, uncertain times, and we're left sitting here wondering, am I even going to be able to take this next step? Am I going to know what decision that I should make? And God gives us this clear direction here. And as we look at this, Proverbs chapter 3, I love this second part. And so as I read it, I was thinking, wow, this is like wisdom right there in the wild. This is a way to filter life's decisions, filter everyday life through these really three big principles that God gives us here in these last few verses. So we're going to start here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21. Everybody still okay? Alive and well, kicking, ready to live. Okay, here we go. Verse 21, it says, my son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid, and when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or the ruin that overtakes the wicked. For the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being ensnared. I love this truth he's talking about. And he starts there at the beginning of the first few verses. He's really kind of boiling everything down and talking about security. And he's talking about having that peace of mind. He uses phrases like, then you will go in your way in safety and your foot will not stumble. And then he talks about when you lie down, when you rest, you will not be afraid. And in fact, your sleep will be sweet. I don't know about you, but sometimes at night, those are the times where my mind can be racing the most. Where I'm the thoughts of the day and what's ahead, and it feels like it builds up and my rest is not sweet. But God is saying, I want you to have the security to know that when you lie down, when you're in that restful season, that I am still there with you, giving you this mindset. And then he continues on in the last three verses. He talks about strength. He says, have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. And he's given us this direction, this wisdom. And if you're taking notes, I'd love for you to write this down. And it's the wise draw strength and security from God's presence. And we see that we're drawing strength and security from God's presence because it says that here that the Lord will be at your side. And to think about God's presence, we draw our security, we draw our peace of mind, we draw that from being in the presence of God. And I love this truth, and we see this in the Old Testament, and I've alluded to this story a couple times the past couple of weeks, and how Moses was the leader in the Old Testament of God's people in the wilderness. And then when Moses got ready to lead God's people to the promised land, he was not able to take the Israelites into that promised land. In fact, he had to give the leadership over to Joshua. So when Moses passed away, now Joshua is taking over. He's a brand new leader. Actually, a young guy. He was a warrior in the army, and now he's going to be the leader of thousands and thousands of people. He's going to be God's man to lead his people. And can you imagine, I mean, following Moses, if you remember the story, he's the one that got the Ten Commandments, came down, his face was glowing. I mean, he was in the presence of God, and yet now Joshua's taken over, and everybody's looking to him going, Joshua, what do we do? Where do we go? How is this going to happen? And God gives Joshua this command. And out of everything God could have encouraged Joshua with, out of everything God could have implanted into Joshua as a brand new leader, as one taking it over, this is what he says. It's pretty incredible. Joshua 1:9, it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." God says, I know it's going to be fearful. I know you don't have all the answers. I know you're almost like you're stepping out into the wild. But my promise to you, so that you can know that your security, that your promise, your safety, all of those things, so that you know that you're wrapped up in me, that I will be with you. I'm walking with you. It's your presence that changes it. It's your presence that draws me into you. And now that we experience that, and I think about the process of drawing near to God. And how incredible is it to know that we have a Heavenly Father that walks with us, that gives us that promise. And as a Christian in the New Testament, the seal of our salvation is the Holy Spirit. It's God dwelling in us as believers, and that we have Him walking with us. And no matter what room we're in, there is power in His presence. And I think about even today and Father's Day, and depending on who you are and where we land on the spectrum, there's many mixed emotions that can come with a day like today, right? And the different backgrounds and the different pasts, and it may come with anxiety, it may come with worry, it may come with abandonment, it may come with guilt, it may come with shame, whatever it may come with. It may just come with uncertainty, it may come with, God, I got big shoes to fill. Whatever it may be, it just adds that extra. But yet God comes to us, and He gives us a picture of a good Father. He gives us a picture, our Heavenly Father. And He promises us that when you dwell in my presence, I believe that God has an opportunity to heal our past and shape our future. That no matter where we are on that spectrum, God is saying, draw near to me and I will give you the target. I will guide you in that. Not only that, I want to heal your past. I want to heal some of the wounds that maybe you're still carrying. I want you to bring those to me so you don't have to carry those. That you can lay those at my feet and I can start to mend those together as we're vulnerable before God, as we're walking in Christian community. And as He does that, then He shapes us into His image, into what He is calling us to be. And even if we grew up and we're saying, I didn't really have an example, but yet we can walk closely with God. Because just like Joshua, He's saying, be strong and courageous. I'm going to walk with you and I'm going to show you the way. Even though you may not know the way, stay close to me. Draw near to me and I will make your path straight. And He says, lean not on your own understanding, as we talked about last week, but lean on God's understanding as He guides us and He directs us each and every way. And I love this too, because life can be weary, right? It can be straining and it can feel like I need strength from God. I need that supernatural strength. And He gives us this promise. He's saying, if you get into my presence, I will renew your strength. I will begin to carry. I'll begin to fill you up. I'll begin to help you understand the meaning of where you are in life and to help you understand and experience that fulfillment. But it's causing us to get into His presence. And something about getting in God's presence stirs our souls, stirs our heart, reshapes our minds. It fires us up a little bit, or maybe it brings us to the moment like we ended last week at this holy reverence, this holy awe of who God is, of going, wow, He is almighty. He is amazing. He is perfect. I can follow Him. I can surrender my life to Him. I can be guided by Him. And He is the one that here, and He brings that healing. He brings that hope, and He brings that wisdom, and He brings that direction as you and I walk and draw near in His presence. And then he continues on here in Proverbs, and he says here, starting in verse 27, it says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. When it is in your power to act, do not say to your neighbor, 'Come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you,' when you already have it with you. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse anyone for no reason when they have done you no harm. Do not envy the violent or choose any of their ways." I love this. He transitions a little bit and he gives us this picture of being in God's presence. But then he says there's a moment where you and I, right? There has to be a moment where we're sitting at the ledge and we have to trust God, where we actually have to take that step of faith and go, "You know what, God? I'm going to trust your wisdom. I'm going to shape my life on what your word says," right? And I believe this is where the life change, you really begin to see life change in our lives and in our hearts, where you and I go, "Okay, God's showing me the path to take. He's showing me the right way because I'm in his presence and he's guiding me and directing me. But now I have to have the boldness and the courage to choose the right path." I love this. That last verse, he says, "or choose any of their ways." He says, you're at this crossroads. We could choose the wise way or choose God's way. And he gives us this. And if you're taking notes here, the second thing I want us to get, it says, "The wise see what is right and make the choice to move in that direction." What a beautiful picture that you and I, we can see that, okay, this is the right choice. And he's given us some practical examples here. "Do not withhold from those with whom it is due when it is in your power to act." You and I have an opportunity to live a generous life of going, "This is what I have, and I see someone in need, and now I can choose that path. I can walk in wisdom and going, 'God, I'm trusting you in this, and I can walk in who you have called me to be,' because there's this power, this moment of going, 'You know what? I have to choose it. I have to take this moment of, right, I know what direction to take,' and I love this story, and I think about this. What if I called my kids together, right, and I was like, 'Okay, guys, come here, right here, family meeting, let's huddle up, let's get together, now I want you to go upstairs, and I want you to clean your rooms, okay,' right, and they're like, 'Yeah, all right, awesome, hands in, ready, break, go,' we don't really do all that, but I go upstairs, and I tell them like five times, 'Okay, go upstairs, clean your room,' they go up there, and then they're finally starting to straighten out, and then what if I came up there 10 minutes later, and they were upstairs, and they just kind of got around the room together, and they were like, 'Oh, yeah, Dad, I know you said that, but we kind of got together, and look at this. We talked about cleaning our room. Like, we talked about it. We came up with this really cool song about cleaning a room. Like, I'm going to clean my room, right? Like, we planned it out. We made these, look at this checklist. Look at this amazing checklist of how we clean the room. Like, all of these things. But I'm like, but I want you to actually clean the room, right? Like, it's still messy. It still needs to be done. And there has to be a moment where you and I go, 'You know what, God? I believe in your ways. I believe it to the point where I'm reshaping my life for your plans. I am reshaping my decisions to fit your mold because you're my perfect Father. I'm giving you my past so you can heal that. I'm giving you my present, God, and I'm making my decision today because you have shown me the right path. But now I have to trust you to walk in that path, to walk in that hope, to walk in that freedom. And now I'm walking the path that God has called us into. But it takes us taking that moment of going, 'You know what? I'm choosing it today.' And then tomorrow, I'm choosing it today. And then the next day, I'm choosing it today. I'm choosing your path. I'm choosing your way as the Holy Spirit prompts us to lead us and to guide us. He gives us that wisdom and he gives us that direction through our lives. I love this quote by Charles Spurgeon, who was a 19th century British preacher and theologian. He says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, but be sure you go that way yourself." I love that. Train up a child, but make sure the best thing that we can do is first model that. It's for allow them to look at our lives and not just fathers, but the next generation to look at our lives and go, "You're choosing that path too. Wow, I see that in you." And that's why we believe like Bridge Kids and our Bridge Youth, all of that is so incredibly important. Even in this room for us, even as we're worshiping and all those things, we are modeling that lifestyle for God. And we have this unique opportunity to reshape family and reshape that church feeling that as people come in, they say, okay, this is community. This is relationships. This is being together. This is being real with each other. This is walking together. This is helping each other heal and all of these things. But we're choosing what that path may look like because God gives us that direction. But God loves us enough not to make us robots, right? But to say, I'm putting that free will in you because I want you to walk in that, because true love wakes up every day going, I choose you. Every day, God, I choose your direction. Every day I choose you. And we see that picture here. And then when he continues here, and we're gonna get ready to close here. We're gonna start in verse 32. And he closes this in a big way. He says, for the Lord detests the perverse. Talks about the just being deliberate, choosing the foolish way, deliberately going, you know what, God, I'm against your ways, and I'm actually choosing the opposite. But takes the upright into his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks the proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and oppressed. The wise inherit honor, but fools get only shame. If you're taking notes, this is the last point here this morning. It says, the wise know that favor and honor come from walking in humility. As he closes chapter 3, he says, we have two choices here, to walk in wisdom, and the wisdom is walking towards righteousness and walking into what God is blessing, walking into God's plan and walking in his favor. But to receive his favor and, in fact, to walk in honor is when you and I walk in humility. And he gives us this picture because the opposite of humility is what? Pride. And he said that he mocks proud, or he mocks the proud, right? And that the opposite of humility is pride, thinking that I can do this on my own. I know the answers. I know the way, God. Like, this is it. I got it figured out, God. Here it is. But God is saying, what I want you to understand is you will gain favor and you will experience how I can speak into your life and speak into your relationships when you honor me by choosing my ways. And his way is paved with humility. And really, if we could boil humility down to the simplest form, you know me, I like to, like, let's get this boiled down. Okay, break it down even further. And you tell me, okay, break it down even further. To the simplest form is you and I going, God, I need you. God, guide my life. That is humility. God, I can't do this without you. I've tried it. I've tried my way. I've tried the world's way, and it's led me down roads I didn't want to go, decisions that I shouldn't have made. It kept me longer in sin than I ever should have intended. And God is going, okay, I want you to choose my way now. And it's humility as you and I waking up going, God, I need you. I need your wisdom. Even it could be the smallest decision. We choose humility in that decision of going, God, what decision should I make here? What direction should I take? God, what job should I take? So many times I come to God as a father. I'm like, God, what should I do here? I need your wisdom. Or reaching out to godly counsel and going, God, I need you. I don't have all the answers. God, guide me in my life. That is you. That is you and I walking in humility and trusting God enough to take that step and going, okay, God, this is what you want me to do, so I'm going to walk in it. One of the things I love about that story that I was telling you at the beginning of the message is when my kids find that ledge, or when they were toddlers, they don't do it quite as much now. I think they get smarter. Like, I don't know, Dad may not make it over here. But as they get toddlers, they were, you know, here's the trick to that game. As soon as they find that ledge, you know what they were doing? They're looking at how close I was. They were like, oh, he's close enough now. Right? Like, and then they go and then they jump. Every time, though, they come around, they wait. They wouldn't just do it on their own, right? But every time they were looking to see how close I was. And when I was close enough, it was like reckless abandonment. It was, here it is, God, right? And that's the way it is with our relationship with God. His presence, we draw strength and security from his presence. you and I going, you know what, God, I don't have it all figured out, but God, you're close enough now. Let's do this. God, oh, you're walking with me now. Okay, yes, now I have boldness. Yes, now I have courage. God, I don't have all the answers. In fact, this area of my life and in my past has been holding me back for far too long. God, I need you. I need you to show me who to talk to. I need to show me a way to walk in this so that I can receive healing in it. God, I need you to shape me in it. Because when God gets close, when we allow him to get close, and we see him and say, yes, God, here it is. I'm trusting you. I'm walking in it. And if I were to just let them fall the first time, right, the game would be over. They're like, I don't want to play this game anymore. That's no fun. But they know that I'm going to do everything in my power to be right there. And God is going, my promise to you is be strong and be courageous. Why? Because I am with you. I'm walking with you. Something in me today, I told God, I was like, God, I grew up playing sports. I'm going to leave it all on the field. I want to talk to my dads, to the men in the house. Let me tell you, we need you. We need you in the game. This is not a season for you and I to go, you know what, I'm going to sit on the sidelines on this one. I'm going to take a couple years off to kind of gain a little more understanding. No, we need you in the game now. I mean, the spiritually what is happening around us, the decisions that the next generation is having to make, they need godly men who are stepping up and living boldly for God, who are stepping up going, this is what true masculinity is. This is what godly manhood is. God, we need the world to look and go, yes, we need to go talk to the Christians, because the way they're shaping their life, it's like they know something. They have this favor. They have this peace. They have this strength. And I believe it. On this Father's Day, it's something that God will speak to our hearts. Guys, we need you. Man, we need you. I'm here to say, I want to lock arms with you. And allow us to walk in humility of going, God, what does that look like for me? What does that look like for my family? And you don't have to have all the answers. You just have to have a humble heart to ask God to show you the way. And one thing I know is he will show you the way. One step at a time. One decision at a time. As he gains that. I love that, and then I'm on my third close now, but Joshua chapter 24, same person, same man. It's kind of an iconic verse if you look in Joshua chapter 24, but he came into a crossroads in his life where all these other kingdoms were coming in and they were trying to impose their culture and impose all of these things into who God had called them to be. And Joshua gave a charge to his people. He gave a charge to each and every family. He said, okay, don't think about big. I want you to think about each individual family unit. And he says, today you have to make a choice. Who are you going to serve? Joshua leads the way and he goes, you know what? For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It's a powerful piece of scripture. It's a powerful piece of truth and promise. And I believe you and I today, we can stop and go, you know what, God? Everything going on, I can't answer for the whole world. I can't answer for the whole church, but God, me and my house, we're going to choose to serve the Lord. And I believe if we want society to change, it starts with the family. It starts with us thinking about who God has entrusted us with. We get the opportunity to walk in that. So I just want to pray for us. Ask God to speak to our hearts. Ask God to guide the way. No matter where we are in life, maybe you're walking and as you're thinking about your past and some things you're still holding on to, I pray that today would be that first step where you surrender that to God and go, God, will you show me how I can receive healing from this? How I can walk in this? God, I pray that you would speak to my life. Or maybe for you, it's starting a relationship with Jesus. Saying, you know what, Jesus, I give my life to you. I place my faith in you. We surrender that to him. Or maybe you've been walking with God, but you hear the call, that Joshua call, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And you say, you know what, today I want to do everything I can to be intentional of walking into that. I'm ready to step into that. I'm ready either to be discipled or to walk in that or whatever that may look like, but I'm ready to start finding that way today. I just want to pray for us. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I pray that wherever we fall on the spectrum, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. God, I pray that if there's healing that needs to be happening inside of our lives, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, God, that you would speak that over their life, God. I pray that the healing process would begin today. I pray that you give us boldness and courage to have that conversation. Maybe we need to reach out to that Christian counselor. Maybe we need to reach out to our small group as we're praying together, walking in that and having those conversations, God. But I pray that you speak that over our lives, God. I also pray that you would just illuminate in our hearts. If we don't have a relationship with you, I pray that we make that decision today. Start that off strong. God, I pray that if there's anybody in the room here this morning, God, I pray for those who are, you are calling to take that other step into discipleship, to take that other step to say, you know what, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I pray that you speak to our hearts, God. I pray that your presence is near to us. Give us strength, God. Give us encouragement. Allow us to choose your way, to walk in your promise and your truth. We love you, and we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and worship together.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.